Well, Father, I truly do thank you tonight. I thank you for each and every person that came out to sit in this congregation. I thank you, Father God, they came because they really want to be in your presence, that they really want to feel your presence, Father God, in your peace. And Father God, I'm asking tonight that you do a great and mighty works in each one of their lives. Change what needs to be changed, Father God. Strengthen us where we're weak. And Father God, bring us through this trials and these tribulations that the rest of the world are going through. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God is saying, I don't want my children to be discouraged any longer. I don't want you to be looking at the things around about you, but I want you to look up into the heavenlies and see what I see and know what I know. And walk in the truth of my word. Walk in my love. Know that I truly do love you. It doesn't matter what you're going through during the day. I still love you. Doesn't matter how many times you slip and you fall. I still love you. God is really emphasizing love in a powerful way right now. And I think it's because of all the warfare we're going through. And we look at the promises that God has given us, and we know some aren't that good. He promises we're going to have loved ones that die. That, you know, that's not that good, but he tells us what's going to happen. And no matter what goes on, he just wants us to love. Love unconditionally. Aren't you tired of the hate in the world? Aren't you tired of the hate in your own homes? You know, and all the warfare that goes on? You know, we shouldn't have that in our homes, should we? It should be love, peace, and security in our homes, no matter what's going on in the world. You know, we can have that. And we used to have that, but the warfare has gotten so heavy that we've sort of lost sight of a whole lot of things. And God's trying to get our sight back on him and his love and his peace. All right. Thank you, Father. There's somebody here. God really needs, you really need God to do something for you. So let's just wait on him right now. Alan, my son, I want you to come up into my temple. I want you to come up into my temple of praise. And son, you need to give me a sacrifice of praise. That sacrifice of praise will unlock everything that you have need of. And son, I know that there's trouble on all sides. But I still need you to come up and tabernacle with me continually. The world is always pulling on you, son. The world hates you and wants to destroy you. You already know this. And you know you're in a battle. And son, I'm going to tell you this. There's going to come a point where you're going to wonder, will I win this battle? Now, you can say, no, I'll win all you want, son. But I'm here to tell you this night, there's going to come to a point that you're going to wonder, will I win? It's at that point, son, you must give me a sacrifice of praise. You must lift your eyes totally and completely towards heaven and keep them there. The whirlwind will be all around about you, son. For the enemy has designed at this given time to take you off your post. And son, even though the battle rages, my love is stronger still. Don't sit and say, I won't be there, because you will be, I'm telling you, son. Because I know what the enemy has in store for you. And I am warning you this night so that when it does come, you do not falter and you do not fall. But you remember these words I spoke to you this night, and this is what you will hang on to. You will be grieved in your spirit, son. Tears will fall from your eyes. But you must understand that I am with you and that I will never leave you nor forsake you. The hordes of hell have aligned together to destroy you, take you totally out of the picture. But if you remember this night, you will survive and you will come forth with victory on your lips. Let's go to the teaching right now, Nancy. I've entitled this Goshen because God talks about Goshen. God said, what are you running from? Do you not see what I am doing in the earth right now? Do you not see through the storm? Do you not see through the chaos and even in the war being waged at your doorstep? I am giving you eyes to see. Let's read that again. What are you running from? Do you not see what I am doing in the earth right now? Do you not see through the storm? Do you not see through the chaos? And even in the war being waged at your doorstep, I am giving you eyes to see, period. The hour that is upon the church is not an hour of fear, nor is it an hour to run, but it is an hour to turn around, pursue the enemy on your tail, crush him under your feet, and reveal my glory in the earth. An apocalypse of God's glory. For many would say that this is the apocalypse, but this is not of the world, but the apocalypse of my revealing. This is the apocalypse of the revealing of my presence and my glory and my sons and daughters in the earth. Now, the Greek word for aplakto means to reveal, to uncover, lay open what has been veiled or covered up, disclose, make bare, to make known, make manifest. In this context, it signifies the revealing of Jesus. God wants to reveal all things to his church at this given time. Romans 8:19, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Let's talk about the mantle of Joseph. In this hour, the mantle of Joseph is going to be released over my church and over my bride. I'm going to call people into many different places of strategic influence. There are those that I'm going to use to prepare the body of Christ for these times of great global shaking. These are those that will build and construct and gather for these times. You know, they talk about you and I, all right? And just like when Joseph was in the prison and then was suddenly called to the palace, I'm going to do the same thing for many of those that I'm calling into this mantle. Those that have been in a place of imprisonment, a place of dormancy, a place of being stifled, and have been shut down and muzzled. That's this church, all right? But in a moment, God said, but in a moment, I'm going to call them to strategic influence because the pharaohs of the earth, while not godly, recognize that they need something, and they need someone who carries the spirit of the living God and the wisdom to be able to get them out of the bind that they're in. See, the world is going to finally understand they need the spirit. And just like when Pharaoh called Joseph to the palace, I'm going to press on the hearts of pharaohs and earthly kings, and they will search out these Josephs and bring them into a place of influence in the earth. And these Josephs, they will carry the wisdom for this time. They will carry the insight, and they will carry the know-how to build and construct what needs to be built and constructed to defy and counteract the plans of the enemy, just as Joseph did in Genesis. He was able to interpret the dream of Pharaoh and see the 7 years of plenty coming and the 7 years of famine coming, the 7 skinny cows and the 7 fattened calves. God said, I'm going to use these Josephs to be able to prepare for what is coming, and they will build Goshen, says the Lord. For right now, many around the world are in fear, and the body of Christ has been pushed into a corner and has been confused. They have lost their future and have lost the fight. They have been burying their heads in the sand and waving their white flag. But they need to know there is nothing to fear because their future is Goshen. We're going to learn about Goshen in a minute. Have I not already prepared it, says the Lord? Have I not already called these people into places of influence? You do not have anything to fear. I'm going to stop there. Well, about 2 months ago, God told me there was going to be a gathering of the pastors, and I was going to be the one God was going to use to minister to these pastors. Now, that blew my mind at the time when I talked to Christopher about it, and it still blows my mind, but as God speaks this, I can see what he's saying. All right? So think about your own selves, you in a glow. You know, whatever God has called you for to do, now is the time that God's now going to exalt you and use you as an influence to those who don't understand the things that you understand. All right? You need to keep going forward. You need to not stop. Why did your dreaming stop? Why did your plans stop? Why did you drop your mantle? Why did you drop your instrument? Why did you drop your pen? For you need to keep going forward unafraid, period. But he says, why did you drop your pen? How many of you has he asked to write books and you haven't? Or you start, you don't finish. God said, I am paving and clearing the way right now. I'm shaking off and breaking off the fear and the survival mentality. That mentality that has been over the church, that entered through years of shaking, the years of chaos and unrest. And I am putting on them the mantle of praise, and they're going to forfeit the spirit of heaviness, says the Lord. God's been shaking the church for so long now. I said, God, what else can you possibly shake? But you know what? I always see him shake something else. And people have grown weary in that, you know. It was just shake, 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 and there was never any growth. Well, now God's going to start growth. For the Lord would say, right now I am building Goshen. So pick up your tools and your mantle and step back into hope, for the days ahead are your best days. And he spoke that. I thought about what happened with Job. You know, he lost everything but the end. He had more than the end than he had in the beginning. And this is what God told us before we went into our Job experience, that we were going through a Job experience. And if you study Job, you can really map out your own life as you've been walking out this Job experience. If we've lost everything, but in the end, we're going to have more than we had in the very beginning. What is Goshen? Goshen was a plot of land given to the Israelites from Egypt that bordered Canaan, which is prophetic of how we are in the world, but not of it. It's a promise of kingdom immunity and protection, even amidst worldly systems and famine and the fruit of sin. The name Goshen means drawing near and is a call to come out of the world, mixture and compromise, and to create a greater connection and dwelling with God. God's been doing all that to us for quite a few years now. Genesis 45:10 says, you shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all that you have. See that? All your family's going to be there. Goshen is your promise of finally settling in the land God has given you after being a nomad for so long. We are finally, after all the wandering and the dryness we've been going through, we are finally going to see the fruitfulness of what God says he's going to give us. We're going to see the house packed. We're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle happen. We're going to see a new church. We're going to see everything that God has promised us. In Genesis 47:27, now the Israelites settled in Egypt in the region of Goshen. They acquired property there and were fruitful in and increased greatly in number. See that? Goshen is a promise of being fruitful and increasing no matter what is taking place around you. This is what I'm trying to get you people to do. It doesn't matter what's going on around about you. Keep your head up out of the water and keep moving forward. No matter how much pain you're going in, it doesn't matter. Just keep moving forward. What if Jesus would have stopped? Everything would be so different. He didn't stop. He just kept pressing on until finally it was cross time. Then he could go be with his Father. Goshen was a place where God made Israel into a great nation. It's where God will establish, plant, and build you. Goshen was protected from the plagues of Egypt, which speaks prophetically of how we will be protected from the storms and fluctuations of earthly governments and systems. God's been telling us that I'm going to protect you. When there's no food, I'm going to feed you. You know, and God's been telling us all this for years now, but I don't think that a lot of the church has a lid on that yet. They don't quite think that God can do what he said he's going to do. And so they're running around in fear and doing all kind of dumb things. Goshen is a heart position of intimacy and being set apart unto the Lord. Goshen speaks prophetically of territory and occupation in the enemy's camp. Goshen is an anointing to be blessed and flourish in all seasons. Let's read that again. Goshen is a heart posture of intimacy and being set apart unto the Lord. So all of you in here have been set apart unto the Lord. I don't know what you did with that, but I know he did that. Goshen speaks prophetically of territory and occupation in the enemy's camp. You know, what the enemy thought was his is no longer going to be his because God's going to give it to his children. Goshen is an anointing to be blessed and flourish in all seasons. Doesn't matter what's going on around about you, you're still going to be blessed and flourish. And God said, I am building Goshen. To these people, the Lord would say, this is what I want you to build. I want you to build storm houses, which will be a place safe from any storm. They will be like Joseph's storehouses, but they will be storm houses because they'll provide protection from the storm for many. God called this what? He told us, put up the sign, the house of refuge. That's what the storehouse is. And when people come in here, they're going to be blessed and not cursed, and they're going to be free from any demonic activity that's going on around about them. So we are a house of refuge. We are a storehouse. And so now God's getting ready to fulfill that part of his promise to us. And we're going to minister to the down and outers, and we're going to prove to them that God is greater than anything the devil could throw at them. They will be the ones who do not only prepare. Is that where I'm at? They will be the ones who do not only prepare the church in terms of financial provision, food and shelter, as well as safety from the things that the enemy would try to shake in the days to come, but they will also be the ones who will disciple and raise up people to know how to be effective during these times. See what you guys are going to be doing? They will raise up an army of people who will fight back against the kingdom of darkness. They will raise up a people who are effective in the times that they are living in. Now, we're going to read that again. And you guys, this is what you're going to be doing. Things that the enemy would try to shake in the days to come, but they will also be the ones who will disciple. Just like you're being discipled right now, you will become a disciple. Know how to be effective during these times. They will raise up an army of people who will fight back against the kingdom of darkness. Just as you've been fighting the kingdom of darkness, you're going to teach other people how to fight the kingdom of darkness. See, you know, we have to keep making disciples. You know, we have to get people saved, you know, and free, and then send them out. Don't keep them in your church so you have all these heads. Who cares about a head? I want to see a new soul. I'm going to be honest, I get tired of teaching the same faces all the time. I love it when new faces come in. I really do. Because we're supposed to be making disciples, not keeping you there, you know, just sitting there doing nothing. They will raise up a people who are effective. See, you will raise up a people who are effective in the times that they are living in. Soon you are going to look back on the last few years and not see confusion, painful, heart healing, awkward confrontation, and the failure and standstill in your previous plans. You're going to look back and not see any of the junk that you thought you'd never get free from. All right. You will see how much God was working behind the scene, delivering you from wrong situations and relationships, outdated assignments, idolized doors and vision, limited mindsets, heart issues and trauma. You will see how he was untangling you from every web that had been wrapped around you for years. Right now, you're still looking at what you're coming out of. You won't do that no more. Because you won't even think about what you came out of. It's not worth even thinking about. You'll just be thinking of all the wonderful things that God's doing, you know, already, or what he already had. You would think, well, you have planned for tomorrow because today was so wonderful. And you won't have time to go backwards. And God says, can't you see that I have been rebuilding you? Says the Lord. Now watch, as from this place I lay the bricks of the movement I have always longed for you to see, but that you couldn't while you still had your hand on the old plow. Remember, God kept telling me, don't want what you used to have, because what I'm going to give you is so much greater. And as long as I wanted what I used to have, which was wonderful, God couldn't move me into the greater works that he wants us to do. And I'm not the only one that's ever been there. You know, some of you, and you, what you have is so wonderful. But God is saying, let go of that so I can give you something greater than what you're already holding on to. You know, let me just bless you abundantly. You know, what the blessings you had yesterday are nothing compared to what God wants to give you tomorrow. And the body of Christ has a habit of holding on and holding on and holding on. And, you know, we don't need to be judging anybody else's. Some of you need to think of how long it took you to let go of things that you were holding on to. But the body of Christ says, why can't they get over it? The body of Christ, me, says, why just can't they get over it? So God put me in a situation where I couldn't get over it. And I said, okay, God, I've learned my lesson now. Let me get over this. And he did. But see, he said, I was judging people. Come on, you can do this thing. God's always been with me, always merciful and always blessing me. And I thought, well, what's wrong with you that you can't walk in those same shoes? Are you understanding what I just said? So let's not do that to anybody ever again. Let's let everybody, God bring everybody through their maze the way he wants to bring them through it. Some people just can't be yanked out of a maze right like that. It would destroy them. God has to walk them through that maze little by little by little. You know, line upon line, precept upon precept. And this is where, I don't know about you, but I've come up short in that area. I thought, look, you've been in the way long enough. Now get your act together. I'm being honest. That's the way I used to feel. Then God said, you can't feel like that. You ought to just thank me that I brought you through yours quicker. Or you never had to be bought through it because I never allowed you to go there. Are you understanding? See, and this is what we need to say. Thank God that I'm not walking in their shoes. Thank God that I don't have to come through that maze that they're coming through. Because you have to get a whole new mindset, a whole new everything. I was reading something the other night that said it's not the mind that we're fighting with, it's the heart. The issue isn't in your mind, it's in your heart. And we need to start working on the heart and leave the mind alone. Because when you get your heart straightened out, your mind will be straightened out also. And I thought that was neat. I never thought of it like that. And what they were saying is the body of Christ, it was God speaking through this person. What he was saying is that the body of Christ has a heart issue and they aren't working on it. That is the truth. You know, we always talk about the mind, never the heart. And I know if we let God, you know, sometimes I've heard God say to some of you, let me have your heart. Give it to me so I could transform it. But you would never give him your heart, because if you give him your heart, then you're out of control. You can't tell, you know, can't function if somebody else has your heart. But God's even asking us tonight, let him have your heart. Let him give you the heart of Jesus. Many times God will say to me when I'm messed up and something, he'll say, daughter, give me your heart. Let me change your heart. And then this thing will go away. But I never realized what he was saying until I read this article. He was saying, this is a heart issue with you. And I have to take your heart and massage it. Get it renewed again. Get the junk out of it. Because how many of us know a lot of junk accumulates in our heart every day? There's always somebody to make sure that they push your heart button and mess you up, right? And, you know, when you're trying to walk in love, that devil will bring somebody, you know, your way that day to really just push every button there is to try to get you out of the love walk. You all, does that, doesn't he? Let's not let him do that no more. It used to be real easy to love. It did. Any of you that have been in the church for a while, you know, it used to be real easy to love. But then it came a season where there was so much hate in the world, Jesus had really had a struggle to keep your love walk going. And this is where we're at today. But what God is doing now is trying to reverse that and trying to get our love walk back to where it should be. Because he even told me in a prophetic word that I have somewhere on my desk that until we get the love walk right, he can't bring his full glory. Because we have to be a people full of love that can that will stand to be hurt and ridiculed before he can put the glory on us. And how many of you know that there's times in your life nothing ever bothered you? You know, people could do anything they wanted to. You just laugh and go on. But now it doesn't work like that, does it? People come at you and they do things to you, and then you have to stand there and ponder on that thing. You know, and that's what gets us in trouble. We ponder on it, and then we, oh, well, now I think I'll get upset over that. You know, I'm not going to love them like I did yesterday. I'm just going to let them suffer a day or two. That isn't God. That isn't God. Well, I have to show my love, my wife love in church, or else the pastor will talk about me. That's not love. That's putting on a show. And I'm not saying anybody in here does it, but I've seen that happen. And, you know, that's not God. So are you a love vessel or are you not? Can't believe how God's taking this, where he's taking this to. You know, I'm hearing God say, love conquers all fear. There's somebody sitting in this church right now. They won't be honest with their emotions, so therefore, they walk in a lot of confusion. You know, let's get on. What's wrong with getting honest with your emotions? If you love somebody, you love them. If they push your wrong buttons, you push your wrong buttons. You know, what's wrong with that? Here they go again. God, just push my button. Yeah, what's wrong with saying that to God, and then, you know, and then getting over it. Bob Larson said, what would Jesus do? Remember, everybody wore that little badge. What would Jesus do? So what would Jesus do in your circumstance? He wouldn't spit in your face. He wouldn't turn them aside. He would walk to him and say, I love you. And he might really mean it and keep on going. You know, that makes people madder than anything else. It really does. I told you a story about one time when I was working and the girls were all making fun of me. And it really hurt me. So I got up and I started crying. So I got up, was going to go to the bathroom. And one of the other girls, she ran out there and grabbed me. And I said, let me alone. Real hateful. She said, I'm not letting you go, Barbara, until you listen to what I have to say, because I'm so sorry we did this to you. And I kept trying to get away from her. She kept holding on to me. She said, I really love you, and I'm repenting for what these other girls did. Please, please, say it's okay. And, you know, all of a sudden, just something melted inside of me, and, you know, and I just said, it's okay. I don't know if I just wanted her to let go of me or what, but you know, something really inside of me broke because she stood there and kept pouring that love and asked me to forgive her for what she did to me. She said there was no reason why that should ever happen. So maybe if you're hurt to somebody, maybe you need to go and hug them. Tell them you're sorry. And don't let go until they receive it. Remember the story I told you about the military man who got saved? And he went back to the barracks. And the guy got mad, his roommate got mad at him because he said he was saved. He beat him terrible. And the guy wouldn't touch him. He said, no, he said, Jesus loves you. And I love you just as Jesus does. And finally, the guy that was beating on him just fell to the floor crying. He said, I need to know you're Jesus. And he was saved too then. Now, what if that guy who was in there just went back there professing he just received Jesus, would have fought back with him? He would not have won a soul. But because he said, I won't hit you because Jesus loves you. And the guy got saved. We are too involved in our own selves and not in what another people. And we need to get involved in other people. Forget about our own feelings. And you know what I found out? If you forget about your own feelings and you give something to God, he always straightens it out. And then you don't have to do anything but just be praising. Where's your love at tonight? God said some of your love was in your feet. When you stomp on the devil, you were stomping on your love. So in other words, you have to get your love out of your feet and back up into your heart. Get your heart straightened out. So the last thing God said here is, God says, so pick up fresh hope. Shed the fear and build the years of Goshen with me. So God's saying, pick up your heart. Let it bleed again. And build the church with God. If you know that your love walk has slipped a little, the altar is open because God wants to pour love into you tonight. It's a love that surpasses all understanding is what he's telling me to tell you. It's a love that will forgive everybody and everything.